Our conversation with the coach is brought to you, as always, by SBLI. Do what Teddy Bruschi did. Get affordable, dependable life insurance from SBLI, the company that has protected over 1 million families since 1907. Visit SBLI.com today. The Coach's Hour is brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers, New England Fat Loss, Carter's Diamonds, and Drake's Cakes. Head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, is with us. Good to see you again.
Hey, nice to be here.
How was your four whole days off? I guess no, what it is.
Good. Yeah, it's good. I think we're ready to go. Watch the game last night. And we're on to Dallas.
Are you ruined from watching games on TV like us normal fans because you see it in a different way and look at different film? Can you enjoy a game on television?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, that was a very competitive game. You know, it came down to overtime. There's a lot of good situations in the fourth quarter. It was good. It's a good game.
You know, Bill, just looking at some of the activity you guys had last week, it's easier to name the teams that you haven't traded with than the ones that you have traded with. And if Jerry Thornton were alive, he would know the teams. You know, there are three teams that the Patriots have under Bill Belichick have never traded with. Now, you should know. You hate one of them.
The Jets?
That'll be one.
Well, that's a long list. We only have a few hours.
And then you really hate another one. You really hate another one recently. You really hate them.
The Colts.
There we go. And then the Giants was surprised. The Giants, but so you haven't traded with those three teams. So I'm just wondering with the
we traded with the Giants.
You traded with the Giants, so yep. It's only two.
Yeah, we did. We traded with the Giants for a tight end that kid from Wake Forest. It was a conditional trade. Didn't work out.
Now it's down to two teams: the Jets and the Colts. That's it. But you did trade with the Saints, and you picked up Hicks. I'm just wondering, like, you've traded a lot. Is the process? Is it okay? I'm going to call a team, kick the tires, see what happens, and then the trade comes into focus? Or did you go in saying, I like Hicks, and it will probably cost us a tight end to get him? I mean, how does it work in the case of picking him up?
I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth, Michael. That's, Nick Caserio and his staff kind of, handle a lot of the communication and conversation. So, but I would say if you're a team – you're looking to move a player, then you kind of get, word out to teams that you think might be interested, or maybe teams that have expressed an interest in that position or something like that, and just, kind of shop the guy, maybe quietly, maybe not so quietly, depending on the situation. And, then that just moves along. So, I'm not sure exactly how it all started. I know when Nick and I talked about it, we talked about draft choices. We talked about players, and in the end, the deal was what it was. So
he's a mountain of a man.
He's a big, strong guy. Yeah, we certainly got a lot of respect for him playing against him down there in West Virginia. Strong, powerful, athletic. He played a lot of different positions for New Orleans. He played anywhere from really on the center to out to like a five technique. Out on the tackle, so he's tall, he's long, strong guy, can hold the line of scrimmage.
To kind of follow up on something that Dale asked you, what is your bye week Sunday like? Are you like a regular guy, like just watching Red Zone and talking smack to the guys in your fantasy league? Like, what? I mean, do you get anything out of it from a coaching standpoint, or is it just fun like it is for us?
Yeah, well, really, Sunday was a working day for us. We were in and we were basically working on Dallas. So, their three previous games. Of course, the New Orleans game wasn't until that night, but kind of putting together the scouting report, formulating some ideas, for the game plan. We knew we were going to practice today, so we started working on the practice for today, what we wanted to do, and kind of what we wanted to have ready, what we wanted to see, kind of trying to get a little head start on them. So that was pretty much it. I'm not saying there weren't different games going on in different offices or whatever, but we were really working on Dallas.
Okay, so the coaches aren't, like, dragged by their wives to go, like, apple picking or something like that. You can say, no, yeah. Sorry, honey, I got to work.
That might have been Friday or Saturday, but not Sunday. Okay, no, cool. Sunday it was like a regular day for us. Which is the way it usually is, on a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh. Same thing Sunday. We were, you know, working on Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, if I remember, was playing that particular day. So, you know, we might watch that game like we watched the New Orleans-Dallas game last night.
If memory serves, John Bostic was selected two picks before you took Jamie Collins, I think, in that draft. Does that mean that it's safe to say he was a guy you had looked at and thought about perhaps when you were preparing your draft that year? Did you have that knowledge base that helped you make the decision to acquire him last week?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was in Florida that year. I worked out Bostic. Evans was there also, the kid that played safety for Jacksonville. Jelani Jenkins, linebacker from Miami. They were all part of that same group. So, I was in Florida. We saw John and, you know, his teammates and spent time with him, Coach Muschamp.
In the case of both Bostic and Hicks, although it's the bye week and obviously there's no practices, does it at least give them time to get a head start on the playbook and begin the mental aspect of learning the system that you've got in place here?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it was good. We got Akeem in on I think it was Thursday morning, and John in a little bit before that. I think it was Tuesday, and so he was here for Wednesday. So, yeah, it gave him a few days to really just look at the playbook generically without specifically zeroing in on a particular opponent or game plan for that week, which is not usually the case. Usually we're just trying to get ready for that upcoming game. So we had a few days here to help acclimate them. And also some of the other guys like Keyshawn Martin, who had been here and played against Jacksonville. But, you know, just to kind of go back over and get a good grasp of the overall playbook without a specific game plan per se. And then we also added a couple practice squad players that fell into that category too.
And Dale just referenced the 2013 draft. I saw a story a while ago about how some teams in the first round, in the top half of the first round, were disappointed by other performances of the guys that they took there. Well, that year, obviously, you traded out and you picked Jamie Collins at 52. He's not a disappointment. I'm just wondering, in retrospect, now when you look at it, going back to that time, did you say, all right, we can trade out. Jamie Collins, we know, is a top 15 player in this draft, but we'll be able to get him at 52? Or did this kind of tumble that way? Did you know that if you could trade out and you could still...
No, I think if we had stayed, we probably would have taken him, but we felt like that was higher than we needed to. Well, if I remember correctly, I think that was the general feeling at that point in time, that we didn't need to take him. Because we traded down... I mean, that's probably as deep of a trade as you'll see from whatever it was, 28 to 52, or I can't remember the numbers, but there was a – you don't see that trade very often, that many spots at that point in the draft. So usually it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, or we're into next year or something like that. But this was – that was a little bit of a different trade. But we just you know, anytime you do that, even if you think you might be going too far – given the extra picks that you've accumulated, you could bounce back up if you needed to, you know, kind of like we did for Matt Light, you know, going back. I mean, that's a ways back, but, you know, bouncing back up if you needed to.
Do you think with him, was it that he didn't necessarily have a position, or was it the performance of his team? Did NFL teams look at that? I think that team was winless.
Well, he was no secret. I don't think he was any secret, but, you know, Jamie was, you know, he was a tough guy to do because there were some coaching changes down there, and so he came in as a free safety, then he went to outside linebacker, then he went to inside linebacker, then a senior year he played defensive end. So I think he was caught a little bit in that, you know, is he a defensive end, is he an outside linebacker, is he a 4-3 outside linebacker, is he a 3-4 outside linebacker, is he a 4-3 defensive end? He's not a 3-4 defensive end. Could he play inside linebacker? Would that just be kind of a sub, you know, nickel type position? So he, you know, he was hard to do. There wasn't really a lot of, I don't think there's a lot of action on him down in Hattiesburg. You know, when I was down there, there hadn't been a lot of other teams coming through there. So, again, I'm not saying he was any secret, but it was, you know, it was one of those players you just didn't feel like was, you know, getting a lot of attention, wasn't, you know, rising the draft board.
I hope this question isn't too random, but it's sort of a bye week question.
Okay.
The 49ers this year did a study to learn how to talk to young players coming into the league, millennials, and they talked with sociologists or whatever who told them they need to take regular breaks to get on their phones. So they literally stop meetings every 30 minutes so that their guys can check their social media or whatever. Like, you've been in the league 40 years. Have you found that, millennials are different than players used to be? Do you find that, like, as the sociologist said, that their brains are different than they used to be?
Well, that's a really good question, Jerry. I'd say maybe try to answer it two ways. One, I think as a teacher, as a coach, you're always looking to try to find a better way to teach, a better way to get your information absorbed by whoever it is you're giving it to, however that's done. And secondly, I would say that, you know, I've learned that kids now learn differently than they did when I grew up. Maybe they don't learn differently, but their teaching methods are different. So what they're used to doing, what is comfortable for them, what's their normal way of, you know, absorbing information is different than the way I did it. So I don't know if that makes anything right or wrong, but I think, you know, being able to adapt and utilize new teaching techniques or possibly something that you feel would work better with the group of people that you're working with is, I think that's the proactive thing to do. I think that's what you want to do. I mean, in the end, you just want to make sure that the information that you give gets absorbed, not just heard, but actually, you know, absorbed and then is able to be utilized. So whatever that is. And we spent a lot of time talking about that every offseason, not just this year or any year, but just we always talk about that. And sometimes coaches that come from different programs or that have done it differently, you know, have suggestions. Sometimes we adapt them. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we modify them or that type of thing. You know, putting our playbook on an iPad, which we did that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that was a big step for me. And, you know, I'd say part of the confidence of that for me came from Coach Shiano at Tampa because that's the way he did it. And, you know, a lot of our coaches felt comfortable with it. I had trouble turning the corner, but, you know, after talking to him, after working with his staff, and, you know, we, you know, kind of exchanged some ideas that year together and saw it and saw, you know, and certainly trusted them to say, well, you know, here's what we did, and, you know, this really wasn't a problem. You'll be all right with it. That gave me a lot more confidence to do it. And then, you know, our IT person, Dan Famosi, you know, did a great job of implementing that. So, you know, probably without a little bit of a push for me, that wouldn't have happened then. It might have been, a year or two later. I don't know. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's kind of how.
Very much. But, yeah, but I still imagine you're not, taking breaks in meetings so everyone can check their Instagram.
Yeah, well, we're not too big on that, on Snap Face and Instant Face and all. We try to not put all our energy into social media. That's not a high priority.
What was the hesitation on? You said it took a while for you to turn the corner on the iPads and playbooks. What was?
Well,
it?
I mean, you know, things like that always sound good. Like, oh, you can do this and you can do that. But there's a big difference between somebody who's, I'd say, not a football person, who's a tech person that says, oh, you know, this is going to be great. You can do this, that, and the other thing, versus somebody like Cociano, who actually is a football person who's done it. Now, when he says, well, you can do this, you can do that, because I've done it and our staff does it and our players do it, that carries a lot more weight with me than somebody from some computer company that says, oh, yeah, you know, oh, we can do this, we can do that. Yeah, I've been down that road before. And what they think they can do, what they actually can do, and what the issues are that come up, you know, a lot of times are different than what, you know, what they expect. But, you know, in this case, Cociano had used it. His staff had used it, you know, there was security, you know, all the questions that come with it. He'd already done it. He'd already answered all those questions. So that gave me a level of confidence that was a lot higher than just, you know, hearing it from somebody else that was trying to sell a product.
Bill, we appreciate the time as always. This is your first visit ever to this new stadium in Dallas, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It'll be our first trip to.
Do you try to get there early and look around a little bit or?
You know, we pretty much do that everywhere. I mean, like last year was our first trip to Minnesota when we went up there to that stadium. So, but, you know, even though we've been to a stadium before, every day is going to be a little bit different. You know, Buffalo. I mean, it was really sunny and, you know, whatever the wind is and things like that. So we try to stay in that routine where we get to the stadium and just get familiar with it and check it out. So we'll do that like we try to do every week.
It's shocking how big it is. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But it's Texas. And by the way, I don't know if you took a drive over the bye.
Well worked.
Yeah, let's see how this one comes
now
out.
Now time for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new Mercedes-Benz GLE SUV, the premium SUV that invented its class 18 years ago, is now reborn in its most intelligent form ever. View GLE offers in inventory to mbusa.com today. So what was the nicest drive you took?
When you went apple picking pie? On Saturday.
A little leaf peeping, maybe?
The leaves start to change a little bit? I don't know. You get a chance to see your boat. You go to Nantucket. Anything interesting?
No real big drives. Sorry. No real big drives. I mean, drive of the week, I guess, had to be the New Orleans drive against Dallas. The wheel route there to Spiller and 80-yard touchdown, that ended in a hurry.
That
so.
Quick? Was it
just
13
like that?
Seconds? Yeah. 13 seconds in overtime. So. Didn't see that one coming.
Bill,
that
good to great. See you again.
Great game.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next week.
Thanks a lot.
Head coach Bill Belichick joining us on a Patriots Monday Sports Radio, WEEI.